mean, her butt. It's just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so black.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed. In the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the charts Tuesday. Well done, Patrick. Well done. Top of the charts Tuesday. We play jams that reached the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. Baby Got Back. Honestly, I've always said this, and I truly believe it. Baby Got Back started something in the hip hop world that really kind of translated into pop culture, because hip hop, unlike other genres of music, not saying they don't have examples of it, but hip hop, for the most part, the entire genre embraced the butt. Like the entire genre, there's more talk about booties and butts in hip hop than any other music. Yes, I know they got Big Bottom Girl or whatever. I know every now and then country music star would talk about, oh man, she had a really nice rear end. I get it. I get it. There have been songs. But hip hop, you won't have a hip hop album that don't have a song about talking about some woman's really nice butt.
You're right.
And how beautiful. Exactly. It's just you're a hip hop. Right. Exactly. It was, and to me, now there are reports that butt lift surgery is just as popular mm-hmm. as breast augmentation and breast implants, that kind of stuff. And it's because, give Kardashian some credit too, all right? But a lot of it's because hip-hop actually started to bring a lot of attention to the derriere and make it bootylicious. I remember back in the day, and y'all remember this too, women didn't want to have big butts. A big butt was not something you celebrated. It was definitely not something you were going to get surgery for. You didn't celebrate a big old booty. No. You were like, nah, I got a big butt. Women used to talk like that about it. Now, women's like, look at my butt. Have you been on Instagram lately? It's just butt selfies. It's just women showing off their booty. Mm-hmm. That's all Instagram is. 80% of Instagram is just women showing off booty.
Mine's sports highlights. I don't know what you're looking at.
We'll just say. Mine are sports highlights.
I guess we got different timelines.
Faux show.
but you get my point. Like, nothing's genres do it. And then as hip-hop did that, the pop culture started to react, because pop culture started to embrace hip-hop more and also started to embrace the derriere more and bootylicious. And big booties are beautiful. And I really do think it changed the narrative about, really, honestly, about bodies in this country, about body image in this country.
Yeah, it did change everything.
But it was hip-hop that did it first. And I would give Sir Mix-a-Lot a lot of credit, because that song was really a shift in the conversation about body image and about, oh, man, are you a butts man or a boob man?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm both. Discriminated against one.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess I had to pick, I have one or the other. Yeah. I'm probably a butt man over a boob man, but not a man. They're both beautiful. It's like choosing Tupac or Biggie.
Yams.
You can't go wrong. All right? But, yeah, I do. I'm probably like, oh, man, that's kind of crazy. Actually, it's not. You start thinking about it. I remember when, in this country, we didn't celebrate big butts, and hip-hop really shifted that.
They changed the answers.
It did,
they changed
right?
the answers to the test.
Yeah, can't trust a big button. It might just hit a big button to smile all that, man. It's just like a lot of talk about butts. And people are like, you know what? I like butts. And you know what? I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Yeah. That was one of the greatest lines ever.
Ever. And I think, honestly, for me, Sir Mix-a-Lot, it's one of my all-time favorite karaoke songs. I think it may be top 10 all-time greatest karaoke songs, because everybody knows it.
Yeah, I can go
everybody,
with that.
And you can just rap it, and it's pretty simple lyrics.
Yeah.
And everybody will sing along with you in the karaoke.
Yeah, that's a good part. A good karaoke song, everybody sing along, so they can't tell that you can't sing.
Boom. Ding, 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 ding. Exactly. That is a wise man there. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's get off big butts. Let's get to some Texas football recruiting. Texas with the 18th commitment in the 2023 class, and it is a doozy. It is a recruitment all the way across the country from Jersey. And I, like I said, I think we broke it down. And I didn't do the research. I got my man Matt Butler did some research for us because he's our statistician and the fantasy football, we're just fantasy guru, period. But he did a little makeshift research. And he said he cannot find another commitment from the state of New Jersey other than the Chris Sims commitment, which was in the class that I came in back in 99, long time ago. The D lineman, Sadir Mitchell, is his name. He's a four-star recruit from Jersey. He's a number four prospect overall in New Jersey, and he chose Texas Harge over Miami, which means he chose Austin over South Beach. But hey, I like South Beach, but Austin can compete with South Beach a little bit, just don't have a beach. A&M, which means I'll give the Aggies their credit when they're due. The Aggies are money whipping like nobody's business with name, image, and likeness within the rules. Saban, and if Texas got this young man, and he was choosing between Texas and Texas A&M, that means that they won the name, image, and likeness conversation too. And then the last one, Georgia. He chose Texas over Georgia, which means he chose Texas over one of the best defensive schemes and one of the best talent developers on defense in all of college football, and just proved that last year when he had more players drafted than anybody else in college football and more players drafted on defense than anybody else. And yet this young man, a defensive prospect on the D-line, chose Texas over Georgia, Arch.
Man, like I told you at the first hour, bro. When my father-in-law comes to me saying, I can't wait till 5:30 to find out where this big kid's going to go. You know he's coming to Texas. And I'm like, what? Who is this kid that you're talking about? I know nothing of what you are speaking to me. I'm not trying to watch this. Then he told me again, and I was like, okay. And then I read about this young man. Then I watch his film. It's very impressive. And again, I know a lot of people want to continue to make out these stories about the three stars, the four stars, and the five stars. It's true. I know that that's big, big thing. But this is where we try to believe in the development part of it. I think this is where all these kids are starting to see a vision in which Texas is trying to go. And once they get on campus, if they get here, don't forget, December 15th is a ways away. We got to get these kids on campus. But if they can go to the point of believing in what the development process from past experiences with these other coaches, if they can believe in that and they can develop, we also believe that that's something that they are coming to this university for.
Yeah.
I think that they are looking at it as, okay, I can become this type of player if I come in, put my head down, get to work, listen to the techniques and the movements. Bo Davis has been grinding trying to get these types of guys, and we've talked about the defense. Where is that at? That is what we want to see. We want to see where the defense is going to go. And they've made some moves to get some of these big body guys to come to the university. Now the rest is, once you get here, what are you going to do next?
Yep, and Sarkis talked about it. In the trenches, he wants, I think they tweeted out, big humans.
Yeah.
They want big humans.
SEC move.
Yep, they want girth on the lines of scrimmage, size on the lines of scrimmage. They want speed and skill on the outside. Yeah. So he's been pretty adamant about it, and this guy fits at 6'6", 335. Oof. Already. I mean, he is a large human being. What I like about him, though, is one of those guys, if you watch a little film on him, he consistent, like I said, at the next level, if he reaches his ceiling, he will be a guy that can project to consistently beat one-on-ones and beat them enough where he would force a double team. And when I said that about Texas defense last year, I said my biggest issue with Texas defense, and there were a lot of them, you allow teams to complete over 50% of their deep balls. That's a problem. You allow teams to gain almost seven yards a pop, actually, running through the C and the D gaps. That's atrocious. The biggest issue watching the film for Texas against high-level opponents was they could never win one-on-ones on defense. Not one player consistently won one-on-ones up front or in the secondary. And that's the key to defense. The key to winning to defense is you got to find a way to win the numbers advantage. When you don't have a corner that can cover or a DB that can cover one-on-one, and you don't have a defensive lineman that can win one-on-ones up front or demand a double team, then you cannot win the numbers advantage.
Right.
And that's what Texas is focused on this year, is winning the numbers advantage. So that's why Sark said they're going to play more man-to-man coverage so they can put an extra guy in the box to win the numbers advantage in the running game. But unless you have an Alfred Collins or Byron Murphy or, Tavondre Sweat, unless you have one of those guys consistently, Keandre Coburn, whatever, it doesn't matter to me, whoever it is, all right, Moro Ojimo, one of those guys to multiple guys that are winning up front, more oftentimes than not. So, I mean, more than 50% of the time you win your one-on-ones. They don't have a player like that on defense right now. Not one. And Marvin that's the Ogletree show maybe closer, but he doesn't get into one on ones consistently. Sorry, Hutch, because he not like a corner or a DB or a defensive lineman. He's got to sift through the tries. I'm talking about guys that win one on ones. You get those guys, they'll help you win the numbers advantage on the back end.
That's why everybody's been looking at Alfred Collins because has the look. He has the size. Yes, he's got the body. He's got the good feet. He's got everything that you would look at to say, how are you not winning your one-on-one battles? And I think a lot of that has to do with technique too, Rod. They don't understand how to use their body, their hand placement, where they jab, how they push up. Just certain things that once he gets that, and hopefully this is the year that he gets that. This is the season. This is the off season where he's worked on that so he can establish that. That would be the name that I would look at to be able to come in here every week and say, well, he won his one-on-one battles. And so I'm hopeful for that.
You ain't the only one. Yeah. Chip Brown, my man Chip over at Horns 24/7, had his some summer workout nuggets. I'd encourage you to go read the whole thing. But a little excerpt here. It says, yes, it's time for the annual summer workout speculation that junior freak D lineman Alfred Collins has turned the corner and is finally ready to put it all together and play in and play out. A couple of team sources singled out Collins and sophomore Byron Murphy as the most impressive among the defensive linemen in summer workouts so far. It's almost like AC, as they call him, Alfred Collins, realizes he'll be NFL draft eligible after this season. One source said, hey, if he knows it's a contract year, then go get it. So,
yes.
I've heard some people, and he brings up Roy Miller too in this article. We've talked about Byron Murphy on our Longhorn Blitz podcast. If you look at it consistently, he is probably your best chance for a three-down lineman right now. Most of the linemen that I watched, and like I said, I watched the film so you don't have to, that I watched and graded, and we talked about this on Longhorn Blitz as well, they're better situationally specific roles. Right, they're better in like situations. Like, well, this guy's better on standard downs because you could have a 50-50 down where they can run the pass. This guy's better as a run stopper, Kendrick Colburn, earlier in the game. Alfred Collins is better when it's a predictable passing situation. So you have guys that situation, like I said, situation specific, they really can thrive, and that's up to Bo Davis and company. And Bo Davis has done this. He did it when he was here in 2011 and 12, right around there. They didn't really have a ton of players at the time when he first got here that were every down D lineman. Now they end up coaching up guys like Malcolm Brown and Hassan Ridgeway, and those guys have played on Sundays. So those guys could be every down D lineman, but I don't see one right now. And Byron Murphy is probably the closest you can get. And then after that, maybe Tavondre Sweat's in that category too. But the key, I think, Harge, for Bo Davis, can you develop enough of these guys, or at least one or two of them, where they can be every down players? And then you can platoon, almost like baseball, right? Platooning with pitchers. You can almost platoon situation-specific roles for players around these two consistent pieces.
That's the biggest thing.
Right? But you don't have that right now.
That is the point that I believe that Texas has been looking at. It's like, who can we develop to be an every down lineman? It seems like those are a dying breed in certain cases. That's why I believe that Texas has those types of players. But they got to want to be on the field. They got to want to be out there. I know we've talked about this before. There was no way they were taking you off the field. There's no way, because you know why? You wanted to be out there for every single play. Those are the types of players that you need to have that kind of heart. You need to make sure that, no. Wave them off. Saying that I can handle this. I got to be in there. You got to train yourself to be that person. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that they've been missing. And a lot of that goes back to high school coaching too. I'll put a little bit on that, because you're trying to train these kids to be, I need you in there on third down. I need you in there on first down.
Yep.
I don't need you in there all three downs. No, I need to be out there for every play. So that's that motor that you've already got to come in with.
Yeah. No, with that, Joseph Asai, he reminds me of that guy. Could be out there for any down, any situation. It doesn't matter. And playing on the edge. They just don't have enough of those players. I think Bo Davis can develop.
For sure. One.
And like I said, Byron Murphy right now, he and Tavondre Sweat and Alfred Collins, they should be guys you can depend on every down. Moro Ojomo should be one of those guys.
Yes.
But to me, watching, like I said last year, you didn't have one player on a D-line that I would describe as, that's an every down player.
Yeah.
every down, every situation, every circumstance. First down on run downs, early downs, run downs, standard downs, third downs, predictable pass. Now, don't matter down. All right, that guy gets down.
Popcorn shrimp, fried shrimp, exactly. I want all that.
It don't matter, right? It don't matter. Churchill down, first down, third down, fourth down, don't matter. He going to get down. They don't have a guy like that.
Yeah.
And I think that if I'm Bo Davis, that's my goal. I want to come out with an every down defensive lineman, maybe one or two of those guys. And the rest of those guys, I'm cool with finding roles for him.
Yeah.
And as the season goes on, Harge, we should see roles expand.
Yep.
Guy goes from being a third down pass rushing situational player to a guy, oh, you know what? He can play second and third down now. He can play a 50-50 down now. He don't have to play he can't play early downs yet, but he can play. And you expand, you get better. That's what coaching's all about. I expect to see that. But I want to see from the start of the season, I want to see one of these guys being every down player.
Yep.
Don't have that right
I'm
now.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that.
Yeah, no question. All right, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Real quick, just we don't have a ton of time, but real quick, I was looking at Athlon Sports because they are coming out with some of their preseason rankings, things of that nature. They did their top wide receiving cores in the country, and I've been keeping track of this because I don't want people to call me a homer.
Right.
Starting to call Texas wide receiving core legit, and I think it's one of the best in the country. People are like, oh, Robbie, man, you're just pumping that sunshine, drinking that Kool-Aid. May be the case.
Yeah.
I may be drinking that Kool-Aid and pumping that sunshine, but I'm not the only one who thinks that Texas wide receivers are one of the best groups in the country. Now, the latest I said is Athlon Sports. They got Texas as the number 5 wide receiving group in the country, ahead of LSU, Michigan, Virginia, Wake Forest, and Pittsburgh. But they got them behind USC. No shock there. with them getting the Biletnikoff Award winner and having, Mario Williams thrown in there too.
Yeah.
Alabama. Alabama. I know they got some talent there, but Alabama shouldn't be that high. They lost a lot of wide receiver core. They got Georgia at number 2, and they got Ohio State, no shock there, at number 1. So they got Texas at top 5 wide receiving core. Remember, Athlon Sports, we also look at their All-Big 12 team. They had X-Man making the first team, Isaiah Nayor making second team, and Jay Witt making the fourth team. On 3 top 10 wide receivers, they had X-Man, Xavier Worthy at number 5. They had Isaiah Nayor at number 9. CBS Sports ranked their top 5 wide receiving units in college football. They had Texas at number 5. Phil Steele had 2 wide receivers on his preseason team, X-Man and Isaiah Nayor.
Yep.
And now Athlon Sports ranks Texas as a top 5 wide receiver. Oh, also, forgot about Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report named Texas wide receivers the best wide receiving core in the Big 12. So I told you, I know I said it, the wide receiving core would be really impressive. I'm not alone in that, Harge. Everywhere I look, most of college football says that Texas is going to have a top 5 wide receiving room in the country. And, yes, if Jordan Whittington can stay healthy, knock on wood, it could surpass expectations because nobody's talking about him.
I was just about
They're
to
talking
say,
about,
every name that you just said was not Jordan Whittington.
Exactly. Nobody's talking about that dude.
And that is the most, I'm going to say underrated, because nobody else is giving him that chance right now. Nobody's looking at him the way that we are, because we are all knocking on that wood that he could be healthy, but the way he's taken care of his body and changed his body, the way he's gone about his workouts, because I think the reason why he was so hurt all the time was because he was too tight.
Dude, I'm with you, bro.
I mean, he was lean, like cut.
His brother is a, I think, right? His brother, a weightlifter, a professional weightlifter,
trainer,
or something like that.
Like, yeah.
And I think he was, I'm with you. I had said that before. I thought he was too tight. I thought he should have been talking to Beach, because I think Bijan does it, and Ricky Williams do yoga.
Yes.
That he needs to get into yoga.
Create that flexibility that
exactly
need
right.
So you can be healthy. And I think he has taken that to heart, changed the way he went about his business. But to your point, Rod, we're talking about Texas being one of the top 5, or Athlon's is talking about being one of the top 5 receiving rooms, but you're sitting there saying they're not even mentioning Jordan Whittington.
They're not, man.
And if they can get that, and the main thing is, can that offensive line give them enough time at the quarterback position to be able to get the ball to those playmakers? This could be a special. We already know how they can put up points.
Yep.
They just got to stop people from putting up that many points as well.
Yeah, I got me a man crush on Jay Witt. Love me some Jay Witt. Start calling him Knock on Wood Whittington after a while.
Yeah,
you knock on wood every
Make
time.
Make the shirts.
Exactly. but if that guy ever gets a chance, remember, he was the top receiver for Texas before he got hurt in that Oklahoma game, it wasn't X-Man. That was X-Man's coming out game, that Oklahoma game, the same game he got hurt. But before that, the top wide receiver is Jay Witt. And I think if Jay Witt's going to get one-on-one coverage because they're doubling X-Man and doubling Isaiah Nayor, by the way, only 15 players with at least 12 receiving touchdowns, and Texas now has two of them, X-Man and Isaiah Nayor, team's going to be double-teaming those guys, and they're going to leave Jay Witt potentially in the slot one-on-one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That dude's going to eat. And you know he catches the ball.
Dangerous.
He's like a running back, so he loves somebody to, you know, get it one-on-one open field so he can break a tackle. That guy's hard to bring down. I'm really excited about the wide receiver core. Not even talking about Tariq Milton. And by the way, my man Chip Brown, one of his summer workout reports, says that the top name he keeps hearing, Brennan Thompson.
Yep.
Wide receiver.
Speed.
Burning off on people.
I'm here.
Yeah, so I'm
Give me the rock.
I know the offensive line is going to be an issue. You know what I mean? That Texas offense, she's a 10, but the offensive line's a 6, maybe a 5. Quick game. RPO.
She a 5.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? It's like, she's a 10.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe she's got, I don't know, maybe she's got an extra nipple. Maybe she's got 4 toes instead of 5. I don't know why you dropped it down, but Texas offense, the skill positions, a 10.
It's got to be the tooth.
The O-line,
it's got to be a tooth.
Maybe she's got bad breath.
Yeah.
That's Texas. Hot. Texas is a 10 with bad breath.
Woo!
Where does that drop it down to?
Oh, that's right there in the middle, man. Exactly. You got to be right there.
It's you got bad breath. That's hardcore. That's Texas offense right now. Dime piece, a little bit of bad breath, but you know what?
A tic-tac will fix that
right up, and we can get this party going.
Let's do it for us.
Let's brush together, baby. Let's brush together. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into it. Austin FC winning together, beating Colorado 3-2. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a Top of the Charts Tuesday. We play jams that reach the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. Little Adele for you. Adele's usually depressing, but this is actually upbeat Adele.
Yeah, a little upbeat Adele.
Yeah, I actually love Adele. I don't even know if I just like being depressed, but I can jam Adele doing like yard work. It's really weird. I don't know what it is, but I get deep into Adele. And it's a very melancholy mood you gotta be in, but... Yeah. She's so damn talented. That's ridiculous.
Very much so.
That's amazing.
There you go. Wait, hey, man, you went perfect on Top of the Charts Tuesday.
Oh!
That's right.
We
did that. We did that.
First time ever.
Yeah.
First time. Man, I like that.
He did say, oh, man, y'all got the toughest ones out of the way, so now we're rolling.
I didn't believe about that. Yeah. I was like, there's no way. We're definitely going to screw that up.
The rest of those were pretty much gimmies.
Yeah. That was really good. Frank Sinatra thrown in there today,
threw
too.
It all at us.
Beach Boys.
Yeah, whenever you're going to hear the Beach Boys, Frank Sinatra, and Sir Mix-a-Lot.
And finish it with, we got one more, but finish with Adele.
Yeah, finish with Adele. That was great. Actually, it was one of my favorite Top of the Charts Tuesday, so great job there, Patrick, as always. All right, great job, Austin FC. Guys, I got a feeling, because I think we're past the point now of asking the question, is Austin FC for real?
Right.
Remember that? It was like, we don't know if this for real. Could be a fluke. This could be, you know, it could just be them on a hot streak and maybe with new players. The league hasn't figured them out. I think right now, I think we're looking at Austin FC as a legit contender and a threat in the postseason. How about this? I love this stat. So they've lost just one of the 5 MLS matches where they've trailed by 2 goals in this season. 2 wins, 2 draws, and 1 loss. Only Nashville has collected more points on the road. They were down 2-0 in this match. As a matter of fact, the first 25 minutes ended up giving up 2 goals, but fought back, conceded 2 goals, like I said, in the first 25 minutes, but ended up coming back in both of the first half goals to tie it up for Austin FC, assisted by John Gallagher. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Having him a hell of a game, a match as well.
Yeah, it was so good to see this and the fight that they had. We were kind of watching it on the phone because we were at the Round Rock Express game for the fireworks last night. But We were watching it, and then we made it home for the second half, and I was just like, I said, you know what's going to end up happening? These guys, the way that they play, they're going to fight the entire time, and we're going to end up seeing a good match. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And just think about this. They played with 10 men, again, because of Kip Keller getting a red card.
Got the second yellow card.
Yeah.
And that was late in the game.
And it was, but it seemed like, I was like, how did he get a red card? Because it didn't look that bad because he made a clean play on the ball.
Which one, the first one? The lunge?
Second one.
The second one. Okay. Yeah. Because the second one,
because he got the ball, but then he got the spikes, too.
Yeah. No.
So it was kind of spikes up.
No,
and it was
just
like, come on.
But you're right.
Man.
They played a man down.
Yep.
For the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, and it was one of those where you're like, uh-oh, here we go. Colorado trying to find that moment where they have a little bit of momentum. There's a lot happening, but they didn't. Austin FC continues to fight. They continue to push, and this has been impressive. And I agree with you, Rod. We need to get over that that thought process of, they may be for real. No, they are for real. They got some gamers on that team.
They
play well together. They move the ball. It's a totally different team. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. Totally different team than what we saw at the from last year.
You know,
because now they have the type of players that they need, that they needed last year, being an expansion team.
Yep.
You weren't getting those top players. You had to get what you got and make the most of it, and now they were able to bring in some players.
And
you're starting to see the results, man.
Chance had loved the fight, but they need to stop giving up goals early. Yeah, and Stuver, it's crazy because he was, you could argue first half of the season, even last year, man, he was one of the pleasant surprises. Nobody expected him to be playing at such a high level.
Right.
And I think, early on they have given up some goals, but I love the fight, man. This group, they don't stop believing.
At all. That's
maybe they're jamming Journey in the locker room because they don't stop believing at all. And they've done so much now. That was their fifth match of the season where they've been down by 2 goals. And they've won all but one of those matches. It is going to be a bit of a concern. Kip Keller, you brought up, Harge, since he got the red card, he is going to be out for the matchup versus Atlanta.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's from Atlanta, I believe. Or at least he played for Atlanta. Yeah. I think this is his hometown, if I'm not mistaken, because they were talking about how that was going to be a homegoing of sorts for him, a homecoming of sorts, I should say. And then Julio Cascante and Romagna, they are, I think, dealing with injuries. So we don't know if they're going to be available for Atlanta or not, but they're going to be severely undermanned at the center back position because Ruben Gabrielson, I believe, will be the only active center back if they don't end up getting those guys back from injury.
Yeah, and that's, to your point, that's the one thing when you start looking at the depth in which you had to where you are now. You got guys with injury. You got guys sitting
out.
Good point. Now with those injuries, not the injuries, but the yellow card, red card, now you're out. So now you're trying to piece different players that are in there. And some of these guys I'm not going to say not in shape because they're all in shape, but they're not used to playing the entire game. They're used to coming off the bench and giving their piece. Now you're asking guys to come in and have bigger roles in these situations. So I'm going to be interested to see how they adjust coming up this week and seeing how Wolf can get the right players in the right spot.
And that's I do have a lot of confidence in Josh Wolf. He has been, and actually
you're
some people criticize this.
I was going to say, you probably the only one that's been able
to say
that. I know,
people have been critical of him, but he actually has been shuffling the lineups a lot.
Yeah.
Somebody was just experimenting, but he's actually been successfully shuffling with the lineup sometimes in the second half. How about this? I'll give you a stat. And it's more about the depth of Austin FC, but also shows you that Josh Wolf may know how to use and maximize these players. Austin FC, their subs have scored more goals than every other team except for one. Oh, sorry, they've scored the most. They've scored the most goals by subs in all of MLS, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Their subs have. So, there's something to be said about him utilizing the depth that's on this roster. Truth be told, I think it goes back to what you said, Hart. They're just a more talented team now. At the beginning of the season, I said, man, Sebastian Driussi is going to be the star of this team. It's been I wasn't the only one saying that. That was not a well-kept secret. Everybody was saying that. but he has lived up to expectations, man. 10th goal of the season, tied for the golden boot right now. Has double-digit goals on the season, I believe 10. He is he's the real deal. Like, he
definitely is.
There's no question. But it's not just him, man. They have Max Schirrudy also also been giving them a lot of momentum, giving them a lot of positive vibes and energy, a lot of juice injected into that lineup. So I really do. I like watching Austin FC. I will say that. And I'm a novice soccer fan. I'm just getting into it. But it is an enjoyable product to watch. Last year, that was not the case. Last year, it was a struggle to get through those matches.
Man, but you know the beautiful part about it is it was definitely a struggle. But you couldn't tell those fans that they was loving every second of it. It's sold out every chance that they get, and they're definitely loyal. Yeah. This is their professional team, so everybody's engaged with it and all about it, and Verde and Black, you know what I'm saying? So they're out there doing it. So, yeah, this has been fun, and to your point too, Rod, I'm the same way. Now I'm looking forward to it. I'm asking when's the next soccer match?
When's the
next match? Yeah. So we can check it out because I want to watch it. And plus, with my family being as involved as they are, I got a soccer family. Yeah. So I sit there and I'm like, all right, so tell me about this. Tell me about that. Why is this guy doing this? And then it's like, boom, let's roll with it. Yeah. Man.
No, so there are more discussions about Austin FC. A lot of great podcasts out there now about Austin FC. So I love the momentum and the passion this community has for Austin FC. So it's only getting better. I think they're going to make some noise in the postseason, but still got a long rest of the season to go. They play Atlanta next, in Atlanta. Continue on this road trip. All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up, put it in the oven right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
time? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Time to wrap it up and put it in the oven. If you missed any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com and go catch up with them on the podcast page. Chan, thanks for the really kind words there. Said he loves the show.
Yeah.
Appreciate all you guys participating on the Specs text line. The show really would suck without you guys participating. So we really appreciate that. It's always better when you guys join the show and are active. Also, want to remind everybody that if you go to the Twitterverse as well, you can follow us and catch up with our thoughts there. I'm at Rod Barrett, Harge at Hardball Harge, and Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. All right, what's on tap, gentlemen, for tonight?
I think tonight I'm going to try to take a step back, watch a couple more shows. I've been watching different documentaries. I was watching the Neymar documentary, which is, you know, you start seeing his life and how he became the player that he is.
Okay.
And where he is now.
Where's that on?
It's on Netflix.
All right.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And then we were also watching, I watched the Snoop Dogg comedy show.
Oh, I think I saw. Is that on Netflix too?
It's on Netflix.
I think I saw that. I think I put it on my list, and I don't think I've watched it.
You're gonna die.
Is it good?
Yo, okay. Because of the people that he brings out. Yeah. It's like
a showcase. All,
yes, definitely a showcase. But each one of them are on there for maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
Like coming out, so it's pretty deep. It was fun.
Netflix has been smart because Netflix is basically trying to monopolize comedy in the streaming world. That's basically what they want. They want to corner the market.
Well, they want to get as much stand-up comedy that if you want to watch comedy, you have to go there.
Yeah.
You have to have a subscription.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. All right, what you got on tap?
I don't even know. I moved in the new place.
Nice.
So, I don't know. Getting more acquainted. I'll probably end up doing more work and watching sports somehow. But, I mean, summer league's happening. I might watch some of that.
Wow. That's how you know you love basketball. Because I got some friends who say that too. They're like, I might watch some summer league. I'm like, oh, you love basketball. Because I'm not watching any USFL. I tried it.
No, I tried watching USFL. But there's a difference because USFL, those guys aren't going to be in the league.
That's true.
There summer is league. Guys going to be in the league.
That is, but yeah, you're right.
So like all the rookies who just got drafted are pretty much all in summer league.
Great
so
point.
You can watch those guys.
That's true. Like 5% of the guys playing USFL have a shot at the league. They don't mean they're going to make it.
Yeah. If you watched just this year and you'd be like, oh, all the first round picks are in USFL, you'd be watching USFL.
I know. And you know, my Matt's not gonna like me telling you guys this.
Chris Nelson was in the championship game, by the way.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he was on the New Jersey team, I believe.
I know. A lot of those guys are going to get shots to at least be on 90-man roster to try to make a team. That's tough, though, to transition from USFL and then go try to get on the NFL, training camp roster is tough. But Matt Butler, I think he does fantasy summer league.
What?
He is truly our fantasy guru. No, he's just fantasy summer league.
I can believe it. I could see, I mean, I don't know why you would do that, but I can see somebody doing that. You're doing daily fantasy.
You can practice. You can practice.
I mean,
there's
I think he literally does it. He does it, yeah, because he wants the repetition. He doesn't want to stop and have an off-season because his brain stops working as a like a fantasy guy.
I do it for golf. I do fantasy golf.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't do fantasy anything. I can't. It ruins my actual game watching experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like watching. It's like watching porn. I can't go back to the real thing anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, it ruins the real thing for me. Really? All right, we'll come back tomorrow. Same time, same channel. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. We all we got. Peace.